The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, October the 16th marks 8 years since the passing of Munster and Ireland legend Anthony Axel Foley. Pat McGarry's play Soldierfield pays homage to the rugby player, and it's having four performances over the coming days to mark the fact, and it's also going to raise funds because I'm joined by Orla Foley, Anthony's sister, who's going to tell me what that's all about. But good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning. Hope you're well.
Now, Pat, you might tell us about the genesis of the play.
Yeah, it was around because I suppose my day job would be a sports journalist, like a writer, and I was kind of working at the time and covering like that. The shock, I remember working on the Sunday when the news came true of Anthony Foley passing away, and like it just hit everybody like a brick, like, you know, like it was completely unexpected. And then just for the next 4 weeks, it was just this, everybody was just locked in, and there was so many kind of lovely tributes paid, and just the people kind of still recovering from the shock of it. And I'm sure Orla will kind of speak more on the kind of personal side of it. But for me as a kind of writer, like I think always those 4 weeks will stay with me for the rest of my life. Like, and being down in Limerick, and even the likes of Peter O'Mahony and Keith Harrell's trying to front up and do interviews and breaking down in the middle of it, and talking about, you know, Anthony bringing his kids into the dressing room, and that Pete was like, this is what I want to do, and this guy was my hero. And just to be down in Thomond Park when they played, you know, Glasgow the day after Anthony's funeral, and those lovely kind of tributes that were paid to him, and CJ Stander wearing the number 20 jersey, and because they didn't want to wear the number 8. And so like that whole period leading up to going over to Chicago and Soldier Field, and then this figure of 8 kind of tribute that the players kind of formed for Anthony then as well. It just stuck with me for ages, and speaking to the players, I was always in my head. I had it in my head for a couple of years, like this could be good. You know, it'd be a nice way to kind of remember that win and remember Anthony as well. So we kind of put it together, and we first staged it in 2019 in the Mill Theatre in Dundrum, and we had a great kind of 4-night run there. And the idea was always to kind of bring it back, and just the fact that the 8th anniversary was coming up, was like, well, this would be a lovely way to kind of remember
because
Anthony
the number then. 8 again, is important. Mm. Orla, the shock, we can all remember. It was so unlikely that something like this could happen to someone as fit and strong and young as Anthony.
It was what you'd least expect. Actually, so much so when we heard the news, I thought it was a mix-up because my dad was in Paris as well. He'd be more likely age. And Anthony had been screened when my uncle had died a few years previous. So you didn't suspect anything. And he was so fit and healthy and so vibrant and really given 100% to life that it was just, you know, beyond words that he would die in his sleep.
Remind people exactly what, when the post-mortem happened, what they said was the cause of his death.
He died of cardiac myopathy, which is sudden adult death for adults. Yeah. He went to sleep and didn't wake up.
And, you know, I'm reading about other sports people over the years who've had the same problem. And it might have happened no matter if he never played sport. But on the other hand, when you put your body through the stresses that sport puts the body through, it may accelerate a process.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
You just don't know. Taking antibiotics can put stress on the heart. You just don't know. There's so many variables in life. What I do know, it was part of Anthony's path. He died on my granny's anniversary on the 16th of October. And I knew straight away when I realised the date and the connection that she'd have came for him. And I really felt that as even as much shock I was in and how upset, I knew it was his time, because that was a sign for me to know that even though it's not what you expect, it was what meant to be that way. And then everything that happened after that week, you know, the amount of support, the way everyone came in and helped, it was the most grief-filled moments of my life. I've never experienced grief and pain and sorrow like that, but it was also beautiful and magical and spiritual because every person came in, everyone worked together and created getting Anthony home from Paris. Yeah. Like I remember saying to the physio of Munster, going, mind the players tomorrow and the funeral. I couldn't believe they were going to take to the pitch the next day. Mm. It was incredible. I couldn't believe where they found the strength to do that and to go out and win, and the manner in which they did, and like being a man down. And what I really loved, they minded my nephews from the moment they took them on the pitch. They really created magical, even though it was such a grief-filled week. You know, life does have grief, but they got to see the magic of community, of spirit, of...
Now, it's 8 years on. Children are resilient, and in young lives, 8 years is actually a lifetime. But I'm sure the memory is writ large everywhere in the house.
Well, they are. Everywhere you go, you see lovely pictures. Anthony had an amazing relationship with his boys. They used to have boys' night once a week. They had great fun playing. He took them to matches. He was very hands-on for a man that had, own job, very busy, lots of hours. He really had quality time with them. So all his friends were always keeping his memory alive. You know, CJ Sander has regularly visited. You know, they like that connection, and we talk about him all the time. He's very much in our thoughts and in our conversations. Even here today, as we celebrate his memory, your beautiful play that commemorates him. You know, it's a great testament that my nephews have, and they see the spirit and how much their dad was loved. My brother,
Were you the kind of person who was involved in fundraising and charitable endeavour before Anthony passed, or did it inspire you to get involved?
It inspired me more at this level, yet my dad would have always reared us to do voluntary work. Yeah. My first memory of cycling was dad cycling the lake for charity. So my first privilege of meeting a superstar was Christy Berg at a charity Legends game. So there was always charity in our world. And as I grew older and studied positive psychology, charitable deeds actually make you well. Mm. It's one of the fundamentals.
You've just given me a vision that I didn't expect. Christopher, was he playing rugby?
No, he was just supporting the fundraiser.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
He'd have been a great scrum half, I think.
Maybe so. Anyway, since Anthony's passing, you have become very involved.
Very involved, because very quickly after Anthony died, I realised how lucky I was to have him for 42 years, because he nearly died 3 times when we were young. So my life would have been very different had my brother died at 4, 8 or 12.
And what were those conditions at the time?
He drank a bottle of weed killer at 4. And then he had viral and bacterial meningitis for the other 2 occasions.
My goodness.
So with all those extra years and amazing friends and life and the rugby journey and the Munster journey and Olive and the 2 boys, that if he had died when I was younger, I just have to celebrate all the years I had him. And all the beautiful memories and everything that our friendships and our loves and our journeys and the people we get to meet along the way who help memorize and keep his spirit alive.
And then you decided to set up a charity.
I cycled the Camino in 2017, a few months after Anthony died. And I found that very cathartic, and I was crying a lot on the bike and processing. But by the end of the journey, I had left a lot of my grief on the road and learned to walk with grief. And that was the start. And then during the pandemic, I had all this extra time. I always wanted to cycle the Wild Atlantic Way, but I thought I'd never get the time, going to rugby matches and stuff. So off I took, and I kept going. I cycled the coast of Ireland. I've cycled across France. I'm as far as Pisa. Actually, my bike is with a guy that used to play with Italy. He's minding it there till I go back and pick it up in May. So it's just become this lovely journey, and I'll keep going until my body says no.
Well, the play is going to raise funds for your various charitable endeavours, including the thing that killed Anthony, the sudden
sudden adult death.
That's probably the easiest way to say it, rather than go
one
for the arrhythmia one. So explain to me how you capture Soldier Field on a stage.
Yeah. So the idea is to talk about the fans. Like, so we kind of picked 8 fans, again, the number 8 again, and then 4 players. So a lot of it has kind of come from the players that I would have interviewed over the years and spoke to afterwards. So you had Andrew Trimble, Conor Murray, CJ Stander and Rob Kearney. And I remember at the time when we were first staged, and I got in touch with them. Now, the lads were probably getting ready for the World Cup. It was 2019, but I reached out to them all, and they were all said, yep, that's fine. Like, you know, like they granted permission to kind of have their you know, names and quotes used. So a lot of it is kind of based either on direct quotes or kind of paraphrasing something as well. So you kind of tell the story of the players down on the pitch, and then you tell the story of the fans. And the fans, there's some stuff is kind of almost like a lot of writing is drawn from real life. Like, so there's a dad and a daughter going to a game, and that's their way of kind of spending time together. But neither of them know that much about rugby, but they kind of enjoy going to the games together. So both of them are kind of reading up on who all the latest players are. And And then there's like a couple, there's a guy who kind of loses his job in the recession, because I remember that was a big thing. Like, you know, around 2008, 2009, the amount of like friends that I have who still live abroad that kind of had to leave when they lost jobs. So Irish people just coming the world over, because I remember just being lucky enough to be in Chicago that day. And so it's trying to capture the madness of that. So where it's almost a bit like a movie that's on a stage, because you're flicking back and forth between the action on the pitch and there, and then we're going back in time, and we're so hopefully it's all pulled together. But I'm just lucky to have like an amazing kind of cast and crew with the Salons Dramatic Society. Like they're like I was saying, a lot of rehearsals you have like six blue chairs in a community centre and you're telling them all, don't worry, this will all come together, and you're hoping it's going to come together. But yeah, to see once the stage is up and the lights are up, everything changes, and everybody, last night was the opening night, and they did fantastic.
And they did come together.
They did, yeah, yeah, and I hope so. And then Orla, like we were blessed to have Orla kind of came along, and that meant a lot to everybody to kind of know that Anthony's sister kind of came and lent her support as well.
Like, now you have three more performances.
Yeah, yeah, we're there in the Salons Community Centre tonight and tomorrow night. We're in the Moat Theatre next week in Naas, and that's sold out, so we're delighted with that.
But still tickets for Salons
still
tonight
tickets
and
for
tomorrow
Salons,
night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so tonight and tomorrow. So if anybody wants to come along. And then the other thing is, we were talking to some people came along last night, and they were saying for certain scenes, now it's poignant at times, and there's some drama in it, but there's some moments where you have to get behind the team, and somebody was saying to me, oh God, I wanted to get up and cheer at one stage, and I was like, I think from
that's
now on, get up and cheer if you want, like, yeah. And somebody was like, I feel like I could play a match now, like, so that's kind of that's great to kind of hear. So if anybody's coming along for next few nights and you want to cheer or you want to start singing at any stage, go for it. Yeah.
Okay, and tickets. Where do people get tickets?
Oh yeah, they're on. You can get them on Eventbrite.ie.
Eventbrite.ie. Okay. Yeah. And you'll be busy. You're going to Croker?
I'm going to Croker.
Are you optimistic about Munster's?
Always optimistic. I wear red. We have to, you know, you always go out and you hope it's going to be a great day in Croke Park. Same way Clare had this year. So.
Oh, you admit they're the underdogs. Is that it?
Well, yes. But we can do it.
Right.
And I'd like to just make a point. Even if you're not into rugby, the play will get to anyone who enjoys plays. Because it's a really good story. You don't have to understand the game of rugby. You don't have to be invested. I go to a lot of plays, but this play is high voltage, high intensity. Really, you would not fall asleep at any stage.
So this could keep going. It could be seen anywhere.
Broadway.
It doesn't mean that people have to know Anthony to enjoy the play.
No, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful story and interweave of everything that's good about Irish writers.
Well, my thanks to you both for coming in to talk to us today. Pat McGarry, who's best-selling author and playwright now, who is author and director of Soldier Field, and Anthony's sister, Orla. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.